complimented your skull, liking what you've done with the shaving.
Hair?
The hair. You've gone back to the old shaven skull look.
Yeah.
And I've paid you a compliment. I've paid you several compliments. I think you've got a great skull for it. And you're just still on your phone as we've started recording. Given that everything that we do tends to be built around you, I'm assuming that maybe this is a Boydy Christmas, a very Boydy Christmas, something like that is what we're going to end up calling this.
I hope not, Dan. I'm not an egomaniac, and I don't see where you're coming from, to be honest.
I'm curious about the shaven headed look again, because for a while Mrs. Boyd had banned that look because she said it made you look like a thug.
She said it was quite aggressive, yeah.
But I think it's a great look for a guy.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I think it's good as well. But the trouble is, this actually happened by accident. I went to my barber, Bradley the barber, who's also a very good runner, and he just went a bit over the top. It just went down to zero, and I should have said to him I wanted half. My mistake. We got chatting, and boom, once he started it, it was almost like being back at Peter's in 1994.
So the guy by the academy?
Correct.
Still there?
Yeah, when I walked in there and I said to him I wanted a four on the sides, trim up the top, and he basically got the clippers out and just went right over the top.
Effectively a barbershop intervention, wasn't it?
Correct.
He was saying, look, you've had your time with the hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How did Mrs. Boyd react?
To this? Yeah,
when you
that's fine.
Up?
Yeah, fine. Because I've still got the beard.
So previously, when she said, look, Mick, I don't like the shaven-headed look. Makes you too aggressive. Or I think you said last time she speaks RP, or
she
she's very well
RP,
spoken.
Yeah.
When she previously made clear her dislike of the shaven look, was it because you were also clean-shaven at the time?
Yeah. And plus, I suppose my face was a little bit fuller. I've got take issue with the accent there, Dan. You won't know the guy you think you've just impersonated. You've done Muttley Matlag from the Matlads from Macclesfield.
Have you just made that up?
No, they're a group I used to go and see in the 80s and the 90s.
A music group?
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, just...
Are you making that up?
No, I'm not. You can look them up online. They're not politically correct, and I distance myself from their lyrics. But yeah, anyway, so don't do that accent again, Daniel, if you don't mind. I think what it is now, because my jaw's a little bit more defined with losing a bit of weight, not as good as yours.
You've lost a third of your body weight, haven't you?
People don't worry about that, Dan. But yeah, so I'm a bit more... It's a better look than it was. So I suppose I can maybe hopefully go back to being more bald now on top and on side with my bald brothers and sisters.
I like the two-tone beard look, and there is a two-tone beard hashtag on Instagram. Like, there are guys with great beards on there. There is also a hashtag, which probably my favourite hashtag on Instagram, but there's not many. I think there's less than 100 posts. Vitiligo beard.
Okay.
Where you get guys with incredible white patches on their beards,
yeah.
And it's just amazing what the human body can do.
Oh, he's made. And we went to school with a guy that had it in his eyebrow, if you remember.
Did
rightly
we?
Yeah, had initials of CC. He had
in our year.
Yeah, and I think he didn't have it while we were
what in our class.
Yeah, not while we was say 15, but I met up with him for a drink. And he would be about 22, 23, and he had it then.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, maybe it happened with puberty. And I don't know. You're the skin and the hair man. So whether it happens as you get a little bit older and just bang, and it's really quite distinctive.
So a very Boydy Christmas. The first Christmas married to Mrs. Boyd.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
I am, yeah. It should be nice and quiet.
What are you having?
Well, as a vegetarian...
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, what's with the face? As a vegetarian, my wife has bought some stuff out of M&S along them lines. Lots of vegetables, and it'd be very nice, just nice and pleasant. I'm off the booze as well.
So you're not actually having any meat over Christmas?
No.
Not even for Christmas? Like a three-bird roast?
No.
A three-boyd roast?
Oh, very good. Will you be talking about your three-bird roast?
No, I'll tell you what I've bought. I was going to save this for episode 112. Just so I could have some sort of association with Christmas dinner, I bought a bag of 15p Brussels sprouts on offer in Lidl. I've got nothing to have them with, but that's my Christmas food purchase.
I would give you a cuddle, but I think you wouldn't welcome it.
I don't like sprout, but 15p for sprouts, what a bargain. That's a Bosman.
You say that. A bargain now, Dan, but they're not being cooked and digested yet. So let's see what they're like afterwards. Mm. And maybe that could be the worst 3 shillings you've ever spent. And also, I want to pick out on a mistake you made there. Episode 112 or 212?
He's absolutely right. This is another example of, what is it, dementia?
Maybe. Short-term memory. Hopefully we'll exploit that as you get older and get any of your money signed over to me.
What a year for you, eh? It's been an interesting 2019 for you, perhaps peaking in the bins of Santorini affair in October. Yeah. Have you guys got over that yet? Has the marriage settled down?
Well, we never had anything to get over, Dan. As stated in my previous appearance on Daniel Brewer's Ties and Is Available, Patreon special, that we were fine with it from the offset. We knew exactly what two bins. One was designated for myself, one for my good lady. Done. That was it.
Was your bin bigger, by the way?
No, my bin was exactly the same. As I said this to you, Dan, yeah? Don't try and catch me out. The thing about you is, Daniel, you've really heightened this into something it's really not. You know, like, I understand that the people of Santorini have now got pictures and they'll be burning effigies of you because of the bad name you brought onto their very good people and the good sewage system, or sewage system, as in what they do of it, of Santorini. And I think you're besmirching the lovely people of the Greek Isle.
So 2 months on from the bins of Santorini.
Can't leave it, can you?
Do you actually think you'll be going back to Santorini at some point?
I mean,
you will.
Yeah, and I'm quite happy to do the same lavatorial experience. There's nothing wrong with it, Dan. It's normal.
Well, it's not normal.
Well, it's normal for them parts. When in Rome, Dan, yeah. I'm not being funny.
But when in Rome, you can flush in Rome.
Yeah, but Dan, this is Europe. You know, you're of European extraction. You know, like continental Europe. You shouldn't understand this is the way things work. And I'm happy for that. I'm a modern man. You know, I'm quite happy to do these things. I will do what has to be done when I'm there. And that's as simple as that. And I look forward to going back to Santorini. I hope they welcome me with open arms.
There's not been a moment in the 8 to 10 weeks since your return from Santorini where Mrs. Boyd has turned to you and said, Michael, I think we might have made a mistake on the honeymoon location-wise. I feel we might have been in a different place had we gone somewhere where we could have flushed. Feeling like things have gone a bit stale because of the bins.
No, it's not been mentioned much. The only time it's been mentioned is when my lovely wife listened to the Patreon special and she was perturbed by your focus on it. And she just... And she just couldn't understand it. But, you know, she did find it funny in parts. And, you're a bit touched when it comes to lavatorial stuff.
You were filling me in over coffee. You've got quite a heavy running agenda over Christmas. Uh-huh. You're doing runs on consecutive days.
Which I don't normally do, actually. But, yeah, but it's just the way it's fallen. You don't mind. The Fink Park Run have got the Festive Five, of which I did the first one on Saturday in a quagmire. And that's the trouble. All runners out there that are listening, they know that at the minute it's really tough. And, you'll find that.
Different parks.
It doesn't matter. It's just what it is. I'll quickly give you the rundown on it. Saturday's the first one, then you've got Christmas Day. You do the next park
run. Very quickly on the Christmas Day thing, when you and Mrs. Boyd go for the Christmas Day run, do you have to exchange festive greetings with the other runners?
Yeah, those that you know, of course. It's common courtesy. You know, Merry Christmas. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice to exchange the niceties of the season.
I saw you and your good lady pictured with Father Christmas hats. Did you actually run in those?
No, that was... we were volunteering at Junior Park Run.
Okay.
Yeah, because honestly... Okay, it's getting a bit boring now. Saturday, Park Run. Sunday, they do Junior Park Run. And they're always a bit desperate for volunteers. And obviously, because of the safeguarding issue of the children, you have to have a lot of volunteers. So, obviously, being Christmas time, put the hat on, keep the kids happy. You know what I mean? It's a nice photo. And that's it, really. Basically. So, getting back to the Festive Five, Dan, you've got Saturday park run, Christmas Day park run, Saturday park run again, and then on New Year's Day you do two. You do one at 9 o'clock and one at 10:30. So that gives you the Festive Five.
Why two on New Year's Day morning?
Because they can. I think they just stagger them because, you know, you get those that don't drink or not under the effect will go at 9 o'clock, and then those that...
Oh, so it's not that you're doing both on New Year's Day?
You do, yeah. You do one at 9 o'clock and then one at 10:30.
How does that work in terms of on your body?
It's a staggered... 10k, isn't it? Staggered 6 miles, is it? Okay, without being blasé, it's just, you know, it is what it is. So yeah, just do that. It's good fun, and then that way, you know, obviously you get a few more, you get closer to the 100 park runs. I'm now on 8. Christmas Day will be my 80th park run, so I want the t-shirt for 100.
How long has it taken you to get to 80 park runs?
A year and 7 months, I think. It's not bad.
That's very good
game. Yeah, not bad.
Do you think if I think the last time you were on, we established Mrs. Boyd is also into running.
Yeah, yeah.
So you went into a relationship with someone that was already into running. Yeah. You were getting into running,
yeah.
I think. Do you think that if you were with someone who wasn't into the running, there'd have been times over the last 4 or 5 years where you'd have given up and not felt under pressure to go back to it?
No, I think I don't think I would have given it up. But I think it does cause a bit of a horrible word I'm going to use. It can cause a disconnect, I think, in a relationship. And, you know, like, because at the end of the day...
What, if you're both doing the same thing?
No, you're not doing the same thing. So you say, like, one of the two are not running, yeah. And if you're not going to the running club now, do you have to and all that sort of stuff? You know,
do you have to, love?
God, I've married Bernard.
Has Mrs. Boyd, how close is she to her 100th park run?
She's a little about 4 or 5 behind me, so not much. So, yeah. But just, yeah, it's stupid. It's like being at school, you know, like...
It's a milestone, is good.
Yeah, so you get rewarded with a T-shirt, you know what I mean? But they're nice T-shirts, they're reusable. And...
Thank you for the buff, by the way.
No problem.
Is that from your running club?
Club, yeah.
Okay. I made a mistake on episode 211.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I said... I thought it was a recycling bag originally, yeah. Which makes no sense whatsoever. What I meant to say was I thought it was a bag for life.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I thought it was a fancy bag for life.
Because the way it was folded and it was...
Then I thought, well, how do I put this on? But I looked at the packaging.
On the reverse.
It was very, very clear.
Yeah, quite clear.
And surprisingly warm because it seems very thin.
Yeah, well, did it work? It worked all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, I've used it twice now. Oh, it's an improvement on the balaclava.
Well, there you go, that's good. And then the thing, you can round your neck if you've got a bit of a thing, and round your mouth, like I've seen the picture.
Yeah, I find it hard, though, to run with it covering my mouth.
But round your neck, I suppose it's safe. And the thing is, I'm one of those, I can't have anything. I've got one, I've not worn it yet. And I think it's going to take a lot of getting used to for me. But, you know, for you, I think it's beneficial. And also, in the summer, I might wear it as almost like a sweatband. Like a what do they call it? A bandeau or something? Oh, no, it's for girls, isn't it?
Bandana.
No, what's it? What's it called? I don't know what it is anyway. A do-rag, that's it.
Is that what they call it?
I think so. Like...
You're making words up now?
A little bit. I think what kids wear in America, like, you can put it over your head and just to save
like
me from
those
the sun.
Stockings that prisoners wear.
Yeah, along them lines, yeah. Yeah, yeah, like that sort of thing. But you can wear it like that-ish. And, yeah, I thought it would be a nice addition to your running accoutrement.
You've always been very strong on the French pronunciation.
It's interesting. Isn't it? I do think there's something in back in my ancestry. There must be some French in me somewhere because considering I can't speak the language... I can pronounce the words quite well, and I sort of get the intonation of it correct.
Yeah, I always struggle with the French words.
Which is always a worry, because, but I get French people in the back of the cab, and I use a French word, and they think I can speak French. So, blah, 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 and I'm like, no.
Say, me, Cockney?
No, I don't. Why would I do that? I'm a London Irish, end of story, as you full well know. As it says on my Twitter profile, I thank you.
Christmas shopping all done now? Because I'm just about to go and do mine.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And in my bag, I've got, you actually did go out and get me, incredibly, some thermal underwear, which is a new development in our long-standing friendship.
And where are they from, Daniel? Please do tell.
M&S.
There you go. So you're on the Blue Harbour Trail now. It won't be long till I'll get you in Blue Harbour jeans.
Who could have guessed when I first met this... ginger-haired guy back in 83 who looked about 20 years old.
Nonsense.
That 36 years later, you'd be getting me underwear.
There you go.
Is that a good thing?
I think so. I think it's testimony to our relationship, testimony to you misleading your poor auntie and giving her the wrong size for you.
No, she was saying that I was small. Why would she say that?
You're 6'2". How could you ever be small?
I'm looking forward to wearing these.
Yeah, good. Yeah, and I looked at, and funny enough, I'm not one of these who reads reviews, but I did read the reviews of those, and they were very highly recommended.
You
Daniel.
Read reviews on thermals?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, well, I don't need them, do I? I don't think you could get a size thermal to fit my chunky Firestar.
I'm looking at the quads right now. Yeah. I mean, they're very, very impressive.
I wonder if the kid would like quads like mine or my calves. I reckon my calves...
Did you heard the show, didn't you?
Yeah, it's pathetic.
But there was...
Captain Fake Weights.
There was a very strange thing from him where he said to me that he was built for aesthetics, that runners don't have good bodies. It was a real generalisation.
I'll tell you what...
The thing is, I'd rather be fit than just...
Built.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. You think about it this way, Dan. You know, if he's going for the aesthetic, yeah, fair enough. But if you're going to have that aesthetic, you better know. Thankfully, we don't really live in violent times, as in, like, well, we do and we don't, if you know what I mean. But what I'm saying, say if the guy's walking down the street, please God, he's fine. But what I'm trying to say, if you do need to run, fight and flight, he better either know how to fight or he better know how to run. And what's the point? If you're muscle
well,
band...
Well, he can't run because he did his ACL a few years ago, and he's always said he can't fight. But he did acknowledge that his shoulders are overdone a bit, that his friends have said that he's too top heavy. He's quite angular, isn't he?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, Dan. Not being funny. You know, and good luck to him. You know, he can lift a bit of weight, so what? It's...
And he's swimming now a bit.
Oh, so good. That's good.
He's
that's
doing
good.
Well.
But, you know, but I don't give in to this. His ACL's gone. He can't run. I don't believe that. I'll tell you what. If that's been repaired, he can run. I'd say that for nothing. And I offered him, I said to him, because he must only weigh, what do you reckon? I weigh 16 stone. What do you reckon he weighs? 10 stone?
Yeah, maybe.
So you think he's got to give me 4 minutes, isn't he? Really? You know, like, as over a 5K race for one. So if you give me a 4 minute head start, I think he'd be comparable. He should be able to beat me, to be honest, at that weight. He should just fly around. You know what I mean? But I don't think he could. I don't think he's got the gumption, to be honest. I really don't think he's got the cojones. See, I'm not very good at Spanish, as you know. And I don't think he's up for it. And he's on about deadlifts and all that. That's all well and good. That's all well and good, deadlifts. But they're not, you know, the people pass out doing them, you know. You've got to be really careful if you go too heavy. And that's not a thing of cowardice. I'd give it a go, but it's never been my thing. It'd take a couple of years to get up to, I'll concede, weight for pound, he would be stronger than me at deadlifts. But that's only through lack of practice from me. You know what I mean? And he does them, I'd say, I bet he's doing them twice a week. And good luck to him. I hope he don't catch his birthmarked on the way down, because there's a good chance you can do that with deadlifts.
I hope I don't have to stick an 18 guy.
No, that's anatomical. That's anatomical, Dan. You're allowed to do that. No, you're allowed to say that. Jesus Christ, you're talking about that birthmark all the time whenever you talk to him.
I don't say the P word.
Yeah, it's an anatomical thing. That's all it is. Anyway, so you've got to be very careful with deadlifts. If he's got bad technique, he could catch himself on the way down. And plus, because I've got thunderfires, I'm okay.
Christmas tree wise, you got a Christmas tree?
Of course.
Yeah. Artificial?
Yeah. Because in the day,
you got paper chains up or what?
Yeah, silver stuff going across the ceiling.
Yeah. So the house feels festive.
Yeah, I'd say so. And then got initials on the tree.
I mean, initials.
You know, like all the various initials of the people in the house.
That's your wife's obsession, isn't it? Is that like me with the dermatology thing?
Yeah, she likes monikered stuff and monogram stuff, shall I say.
So she's got, what, decorations on the trees?
Yeah, and we've initials. Also got...
There's a MAB?
No, not me, I know, just them.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Why haven't you got your own one on the tree?
No, I've got my monogrammed hooded
why aren't you
robe.
On the tree there?
Yeah, I've got an M on there.
Yeah, but what about the MAB?
What about the MAB? It's on my robe. You can see it any time. I've sent you a picture of it.
But has everyone else, though, got their initials up on the tree?
Yeah,
the full initials?
No, just the first initials. And also we've got different things from our travels around the world and stuff like that. So it's nice, yeah. It's all very festive. Got a fleur-de-lis, which is always nice.
What's that?
It's the French... We got it from... where did the French king live in France? Louis XIV, Louis de Chiv. What's it called?
Palace de Versailles.
Versailles. We went to Versailles and picked up one there, says the Fleur de Lis.
When did you go to Versailles?
When did we go to Versailles? Was that this year? Or last year? Last year. So, yeah, it came out. It was nice, yeah. Got a few other bits. Santorini.
Have you got
a toilet roll, actually, from Santorini. Santorini on it. Yeah, it rolls down.
I would imagine that you should have brought back the bins that you use, maybe. I think those bins should be person-specific. That's the bit that troubles me, is that those bins stay behind and go to the next guests.
Yeah, do the same thing. But they're lined, Dan. You've got to get... They're lined with, like, specific...
Lined with bin, what? With your line. Toilet paper?
No, toilet paper goes in the bin liner, Daniel. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, a metal aluminium bin. Dan, this is...
It's just this whole bit. You're in love. You've got married. You're having a wonderful honeymoon. That bit's all great. But then you're pushing down on the pedal bin with your foot and you're dropping your loo roll in there. That bit doesn't work for me. It will never work for me.
What can you do, Dan? At the end of the day...
You can go to a country where you can flush loo roll, Michael.
Well, so either you either do that or you don't go loo for a week and then land up in hospital. It's just, Dan, you've got to be, you know, a bit fluid with these things. You've got to be... You've got to roll with stuff. It's just easy. It doesn't matter, does it?
You've got to roll with a toilet roll.
Correct. You've just got to take it, and that's it. It's done. It's irrelevant.
You're all done now with the Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
What's your wrapping like?
Poor.
Because I've just noticed that my gift wasn't wrapped.
No. Why do you want it wrapped? You wanted it wrapped?
I'm just saying. It wasn't wrapped. In fact, it reminds me of my dad's The Unwrapped Christmas of 76.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? This year was the first time I've posted that picture. Let me just tell listeners, it's the first time I've posted that picture since I did the advent calendar, and there's been no tweet. from Mr. Boyd, saying, "Oh look, blah blah blah." Like when I was that age, I wasn't getting anything for Christmas.
I'm not being funny. You know, like you say about...
Yeah, but you were shaving from 12 years of age. There was me. I had to wait till I was 17, 18 to shave.
Yeah, but you're shaving twice a day now. but what I'm saying is, that picture is ridiculous. It's half a front room in 1976, 77, taken up with toys. And I'm not denigrating my mother and father, who worked very hard and, you know, did everything. And I'm sure, I know your mum and dad worked very hard as well. But it's disproportionate, Dan. You know what I mean? You know, the income your mum must have spent on that and your dad that year... must have been about at least two thirds.
Strange that none of it was wrapped. That's what I find
strange. There's too much, Dan. Not be funny. For them to wrap that, they'd have to start in September.
But that's part of the magic of Christmas, is the presents are wrapped. You don't know what you're getting.
Okay.
So it was an interesting decision, I think.
I think he was right. I make your dad and mum right at the end of the day. They've only so many hours in the day. And also, even if you're in the one room, talk me through. Was that a different house?
No, that's 48 Mayflower.
Right, so that was... you were sleeping in that room.
No, we were all four of us in the bedroom. That was right. The front room.
Okay, so, right, brilliant. So, that morning, Santa Claus has come, as we all know.
Father Christmas.
Father Christmas. Santa Claus to us Irish people.
Really?
Santa, yeah. My mum used to call him Santa. Anyway, so think of it this way, Daniel. As you open the door, that is you unwrapping. You know what I mean? The door is opened. Boom.
Mm.
There you go.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, definitely.
There's two things, actually, that I would like to... two moments, I think, I would like to sit in on. The first one would be... that Christmas, the unwrapped Christmas of 76, I'd like to have seen how my mum and dad arrived at that decision not to wrap those presents. And there's the moment when you and Mrs. Boyd decided that your relationship was strong enough to go to Santorini and do the thing with the bins. Those two moments, I think, would be very interesting to experience.
If time travel is possible, Daniel, I would think you should go for the former. I think it's more important in your life than my good lady's toilet experiences on a Greek island.
Is she looking forward to Christmas? Is she a Christmassy person?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, she's very Christmassy. And I must admit, as years have gone on, I've softened on Christmas, although I've never really engaged with Christmas the way I should have. And I don't know why, to be honest. I've got my suspicions, but I don't know why. There's nothing I can put down to one thing. I just think it's accumulative over the years. That's not right. The word I wanted to use there was accumulative. It's accumulative over the years of just basically Christmas being eroded on me, and I think it's been built back up. But where is...
why was it?
I can't really go into details. You've got a leather chair in here. If we've got a leather couch, I can lie down on it and you can go into my psyche. But I think there is something from my childhood. Nothing of any danger. No safeguarding issues there. Don't worry. Mum and Dad were great. It's another member of the family. Again, nothing of a nefarious nature. But it was their behaviour that used to affect me at Christmas.
Just looking at your wedding ring there, that is a hell of a wedding ring.
Do you know what?
That is...
it's tungsten.
It's big.
It's tungsten. Yeah, it's not big.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
Again, no offence to my lovely lady. It's very cheap and it's hard wearing. So that's why I wanted. I wanted something that wasn't going to be...
yeah, it doesn't look like it's digging in at all.
No, it's just nice. It's hard wearing. That's all I wanted it. But it's not silver.
Yeah.
It's that sort of gunmetal grey. So
yeah,
I wanted that.
I like it.
Yeah, so getting back to Christmas. Yeah, I'm not... yeah, I like it to a point, you know, and I get it. I like the... you know, my favourite thing about Christmas is Dickens' Christmas Carol. And really, as years have gone on, I'm embracing that.
They've done a new adaptation of
Scrooge. Yeah, I watched it last night. Yeah, a bit dark. But also to... look at the other side, not the other side, but listen, on the Sounds app, they've got a 5 or 6-parter on there, an hour a shot, which is really good. Unabridged, I think it's unabridged.
Scrooge.
Yeah, Christmas Carol. Really, really, really worth a listen. Even if you're listening to this after Christmas, give it a listen.
And of course, the great Christmas novella that we have both read under different names, your version being called The Turning of the Screw by Henry James.
Yeah, much better than the one you listen to. There was his Turn of the Screw, which is his poor effort. But yeah.
Something I won't be watching on Christmas Day, partly because I don't like much of their output, just because they seem to be reworking lots of old classics like, you know, Sherlock Holmes with Sherlock. I just thought that was a bad show. But there's a New Year's Day version of The Count by the makers of Sherlock. I won't say his name, but I did see a trailer for it and I thought, I'm on my own. Do I want to watch that? Am I going to be able to sleep afterwards? Probably not. Mm. But also, I don't really see the need to remake some of these things.
No,
not constantly.
Yeah, but it's just money making, isn't it? Mm. getting back to the Scrooge one from last night, there's a horrible bit. Have you watched it?
No. Was it worth watching?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not going to ruin it, but it's a bit of Stephen Graham plays Marley. And they go to him. He's actually in the coffin. It's horrible. You know, like they actually go. A young kid comes along and urinates on the headstone. And the water, the urine permeates through the soil and plinks on his eyes.
What's the idea behind that? Is that good luck?
No, it's the exact opposite. He calls him the B word.
Okay.
So that's that. And then it's just horrible. You know what I mean? And just the whole thing, that claustrophobia, being in the coffin. And it's the reason I want to be cremated, to be honest.
But you still got to go in the coffin originally.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Dan. Yeah,
we were talking earlier about that show we like on Sunday nights. Mentioned the host. Yeah. And I think they were talking, or he was talking to someone about the various stages of death. That even after people are declared dead, it's now scientifically proven there is often other activities still going on, such as brain activity, etc., which is frightening to think that it's a horrible thought.
I'm going to put something out there, Dan. It's quite controversial.
Yeah. Is this meant to be a very bawdy Christmas?
I was going to say, Merry Christmas, everyone. Just a quick one. That's why I'll be honest with you, and I hope people don't judge me on this, but they may do, and you know, they're welcome to. That's one of the reasons I don't want to be a donor. I've heard too many stories, and again, could be all crap, could be nonsense. But I've heard that, you know, to harvest the organs, there has to be some semblance of life, and I don't fancy that, to be honest. I don't know how true that is. Again, and I don't want to put out misinformation because I am the king of misinformation. But really, I don't fancy that for that reason. So, each to their own. Each to their own. I'm a modern man. But I don't fancy it. As it stands at this age now,
so you,
I might change as I get older.
You would not donate one of your quads and maybe exist for another 5 years just on one quad?
No. And if any of my family members want a kidney, they're not getting it either. But yeah, that aside, yeah, no, I wouldn't fancy it.
Now, you coming on the show once again was conditional on the...
What's that?
On the long-standing feature of yours, Ask Boydy.
Oh, yes.
Now, I have been on your case about it for weeks to just keep them on the back burner, collect a few. You've told me that you've managed to collect two.
Two, yeah. One of which I forgot from last time.
Right.
And that was
Barks?
Barks, yeah. And again, I'm struggling to find it, so it's a bit of a shame. But in the meantime,
So you have again forgotten Bart Pamphlet's Ask Boydy.
Yeah, while I stutter and apologise to Bart Pamphlet, and I do apologise, Bart Pamphlet, and I'm yet to read one of your pamphlets, Bart Pamphlet. Have you got one?
Yeah, I've had two.
Oh, right, okay. How do I get them? Can they tweet how I get them?
They do have a link.
Oh, right, I'll have a look. Anyway, it's Minty Matt.
So this is Ask Boydy.
Oh, see, there's no need for that.
The festive Ask Boydy.
Yeah, festive, yeah. Minty Matt, our friend, as you say, in the
golf. Great Twitter form, that whole Shataf thing has elevated him to a different level.
So that's something that Santorini did for him and for you. Yeah, unlike me, you know, it was, you know, just an experience. It was a lovely experience, but, you know, the toilet side of it didn't really matter. Anyway, Minty Matt asked a very quick and simple question. What's the greatest crisp?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what the greatest crisp is, yeah? The packet of 1970s Golden Wonder tomato, sausage and tomato.
Was that the red packet?
Yeah, browny red. They were delicious.
Looking back, do you not feel that the Golden Wonder crisps could be a bit greasy?
Doesn't matter. What's wrong with that?
Greasy. I used to like the cheese and onion with the green packets.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were kids that Walker's crisps were largely found in pubs? They weren't massive. Or was it Murphy's crisps? I think it was Walker's crisps. Golden Wonder were like the Liverpool of the crisp world.
Yeah, they were.
And where are Golden Wonder now?
Probably been absorbed into Walker's. I would assume something like that. But that's, yeah, they've been taken up.
Makes this crisp the greatest crisp that you've ever had?
Yeah, the taste was just so sharp and so accurate. It really was. And because my mother used to, even as a little one, she used to knock me up sausages with fried tomatoes because my dad had a... He used to like fry-ups, which subsequently died of colon cancer. I suppose there's a correlation there. The taste was identical. And maybe because you're younger and your taste buds are sharper, it had everything about it, you know, and the crisps were never too sharp. And also always used to be accompanied when you went down a pub with your mum and dad. You used to do the 70s thing and sit outside. But to be fair to my mum and dad, they used to sit outside with us.
Well, they could have taken you inside because you looked probably, you looked about 18, didn't you?
I did actually order my first round of drinks when I was 14. And I mean a proper order. I mean like 7 pints, 2 vodkas and orange, a Southern Comfort and Lemonade. I'm honest to God, in the Portland in Stockwell.
That's still around, isn't it?
No, they knocked it down. Oh, okay. Then you've got the new Portland Arms on Monsworth Road, as you're thinking of.
Yeah. There's something I used to do with Golden Wonder crisps in the 80s during my fat period from 84 to 89. I used to like chuck in some ready salted peanuts into the packet of crisps, mixing them up. And I could never get to the end of it because I'd just end up feeling sick. It was just too much, you know. It was too greasy.
Yeah,
and
it's a bit of a twisted thing to do, Dan.
Yeah, I was just greedy. I was a very greedy kid.
I know you was. I remember. I remember you for a bit. As much as you found me being a big fat lump when you first met me, I couldn't get over how tall and skinny you were. Because you were chunky when we was at school.
I was your fat friend, wasn't I?
You really was the fat friend. Yeah, I must admit. And it was a miracle you made into the. Third team. Was it the third team you played for?
The C team, I think it was. No.
Oh, C team. Yeah. Right. Because it was full of... No, anyway.
You've got a second question.
I can't remember. I can't find it.
Really?
I'm so sorry.
So this is Ask Boydie. It's one question.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Bart Pamphlet. I can't find it for love nor money. My Twitter...
Okay, let me do Ask Boydie.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Mick. why are you so disorganised?
I think because I am fundamentally a lazy person. My question friend or whatever you are, and I think I can't cope. I couldn't cope with life if it was organised. I'd be too regimented. I would work to the clock too much, and then I would be in trouble because I would beat myself up about things I hadn't achieved for that day. So it's better off to let it all go, and just let things fall as they lay.
Even when you're going on a show where you're meant to be coming on with certain features.
Yeah, true. I was more concentrated on getting your.
The pants.
Well, I call them long johns.
Do you want a picture later?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, I don't want them unravelled, though, because I don't want to touch them. Because, you know what I mean, you're going to be wearing them. But, yeah, but I extend my festive apologies to Bart Pamphlet. And please, if I do get the opportunity to come back on, that'll be the first thing I'll do, is find the aforementioned question and answer it as openly and as honestly as I can.
Of course... A couple of weeks ago, you, I think when you caught wind of the fact that I was interviewing the kid, you decided you were also up for a Skype interview. You got in touch, but you'd not actually prepared anything. You just expected me to drop everything and build a show around you again.
Yeah, that's right. What I was basically doing there, Dan, any amateur psychologist could tell you, I was just trying to detract from the kid. And in that jealous way,
Push your buttons.
He does. He does. I think you know what it is, because he never sort of proves himself. You know, like he's all about the gym, but he's swimming his poor, isn't it?
Well, he's just started swimming.
Yeah,
hasn't
so fair enough.
In his 30-pound trunks.
Yeah. So right, we'll give him 2 years on that and hope he improves. And good luck to the fella. Yeah, and let's hope I'm not near him, because I will put weights in his pockets. But also, you know, like it's no boxing. You know. It's all very superficial. Go boxing. No, don't be gym strong. Be man strong or woman strong. I am a modern man after all.
You are.
Yeah. So, but be strong through your activities, not through specific weights.
How would you distinguish between gym strong, sort of gym strength, and man strength?
I think because it'd be doing things. Because at the end of the day, a weight is ergonomically designed for you to lift it, easily. If you know what I mean. So say like you got two. Discs on a bar and you can lift it, you get out of a box that weighs half that weight, you will struggle much more because it's hard to balance and to get your grip and all the rest of it. So what you're dealing with little fibers in your arms and your shoulders that otherwise you're totally isolated on the bar, but you know there's so much going on when you have to do other stuff around the house. And, you know, like things, you know, just in general life, really, I don't get the feeling he gets stuck in anything. He's all like, the only time he does any exertion is at the gym. You know, he doesn't do it anywhere else. That's my truck with Captain Fake Weights.
It was 5 years yesterday since you guys first clashed on air.
Was it really?
Live on Resonance.
Really, yeah.
That was the first time you guys had met, wasn't it?
Yes, right. And I think, to be fair, he got the better of me then.
Well, you weren't... you were having a bad time.
I wasn't very well either.
No, and I didn't help with my reaction when you were the only person to ask me what time does the show start.
Yeah.
I thought, why is it every time? Why is it always this guy? Yeah, but then I saw you turn up and you looked terrible as well.
Yeah, I didn't look great. And also, you had this thing that I was going to hand out hand gel and you never told me. It was like I was psychic. Yeah. Do you remember you wanted me to, and then you had the ump with me over that? That's about the only time we've ever sort of had a bit of a disagreement, if I remember rightly.
Well, apart from the time I sacked you twice from the podcast.
Yeah, I mean nothing. I knew the public wanted me back without being arrogant. I knew they wanted me back. I wanted them, they wanted me.
Can you reassure your fans that the next time Spidey makes an appearance, yep, there will actually be more than one question?
There will be. What I'll do, Dan, if you don't mind, we can do an Ask Spidey special where I'll only come
happy
on...
Happy to do those, yeah, via Skype, if you want.
Yeah, I'll only come on if I have a 10-question minimum.
OK, so let's actually put this out on Twitter.
Yeah.
You can get your Ask Boydie questions to Mickey at Boydie71, imaginative Twitter handle, at Boydie71, that's 7-1. Get your Ask Boydie questions in. You want the hashtag Ask Boydie?
Yes, please. And also, while we're talking about Twitter handles, yours is so bloody obscure. Something about the Great Gatsby, West Egg, East Egg.
Yeah.
Big egg.
Intriguing. Yeah, history. It's like being left-handed.
Yeah.
When you see a left-hander, don't you think, well, that looks different? That's
not
different.
Really.
I do.
Not really.
When I'm at home, I pretend to be left-handed sometimes.
I only do one thing left-handed, and I don't have to do that anymore, Dan.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a dirty bugger, isn't he, Mrs. Boyd? You want to... I mean, there's no reason for him to be coming up with... I'm glad he's blushing right now.
I'm blushing.
He should be blushing. I'm talking to you, Mrs. Boyd. Is this the man that you want to be with? Are you happy? First the bins, now he's talking about this kind of stuff. So, ask Boydie, tweet them to... at Boydie71. We're going to wrap up a very Boydie Christmas now. I think we've got a clear picture of your Christmas. Going to be a lot of running.
Yeah.
There's no meat.
No.
No booze either.
No booze, no.
At all.
At all.
That is impressive, Michael.
The closest I get to it, Daniel, is a bit of a tiramisu.
I don't like that.
It's the best thing ever.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're anti-Italian.
I've had it once or twice. I found it very rich.
I don't think you like the Italians, Dan, to be honest. That's what it comes down to. I'm about Europe. I'm all about Europe. I love a bit of Europe.
Well, we're coming out of Europe now, aren't we?
We are.
What are you going to do? Can you qualify for dual nationality?
How dare you?
No, Cyril, can you qualify?
Of course I can.
Okay.
Of course I can.
Well, because I say this because I can't get a Spanish passport anymore, but I'm assuming that if we're coming out of Europe, which we are now, that I may be able to reapply for dual nationality.
From the moment I was born, I was an Irish citizen. The moment I was born. There you go.
Well,
winding up with pride there.
All that remains for us is to wish listeners a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hopefully it won't be too long before Mr. Boyd is back on the show. Why are you gurning?
Just thinking what to say at the end, Dan. Go on, you crack on, go on.
And I hope... I've already wished you guys a Merry Christmas on episode 211, so I'm going to leave it to Mr. Boyd to try and... ensure that this show finishes on a high note, given the disappointment of the festive Ask Boydie. Over to you, Michael.
Merry Christmas, one and all, to all of you and your family. And I hope you have a very lovely festive time and a peaceful new year. And I hope 2020 brings you everything you want. And to you, Daniel, I say Feliz Navidad.
Thank you very much, Michael. And don't forget, if you enjoy the show, you can support it by visiting the Patreon site, patreon.com/DRT available. And for just $7 a month, that's the equivalent of £5, which is probably less than 2 UK coffees. You can support the show, unlock all the bonus content, unlock the weekly Thursday episodes that run to around 80 to 90 minutes. And that keeps this show going. That's patreon.com/DRT available. Merry Christmas.